T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, from the Hyundai of West Dallas Postgame Studios, here's Jeff Orlowski and the franchise, Tim Allen.
It is a final from Miller Park, and the results are not good. The Cubs get the series even with a 14-8 slugfest victory. They're saying, take that, Brewers. Welcome, everybody, to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim Allen, the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, Sam Schmitz, Andrew Bolt, and... We're sitting right here in the Hyundai of West Dallas postgame studios trying to figure out what is going on with, tabulating, 10 runs yesterday. The Brewers pitching staff gave up 14 tonight. They gave 24 runs in the two-game series. 24 runs. Now, on the other hand, the Chicago Cubs pitching staff has given up 21. 45 runs scored in this two-game set thus far.
Ouch.
Ouch. Okay. All right. It was a decent ball game early on. Burns and Hamels going at it. Each of them giving up a couple of runs. Tight ball game. 2-2 game. Mid-game, right? That we were having a sandwich at that time. And it was like, I remember commenting to you, Jeff, that we got a good one going here. 2-2 game. Fourth, fifth inning. Take that.
Yeah,
you got a shot to win. You got Hader in the bullpen, just ready to unleash him. Would you have unleashed him when Brawny hit the 3-run home? Checked it. Well, you know what? Since I hate this team so bad, you got to focus on the positive. Let's just hear it. Normally, I don't play the highlights on a loss, but let's play a couple just for the fun of it. Here's Ryan Braun.
Braun to right. Did he get enough? Hayward's on the run, and this is going to fly.
All right, there's a 3-run home run. There's some fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Eric Thames, he did the same thing yesterday and then repeated the performance tonight.
A high fly ball to center. Got some carry. Almora watching this one go. Wow, off the scoreboard. Eric Thames, a 3-run home run.
He tattooed that ball. He just destroyed it.
Yeah, there you go. There's some fun, but the Brewers fall 14-8, and they're now 7-2 in the series. You talk about a big game tomorrow. Whoo, that's a good one. Tomorrow, Zach Davies, Jimi Hendrix going at it for the Cubs, and it's the rubber match tomorrow. A lot of people don't like when I say that. Rubber match.
It's been the deciding game of the series since the beginning of time.
Yes, when a series is tied at one apiece, the final game is in baseball vernacular, the rubber match.
Yep, always has been.
Yeah, and the Brewers are going to go at it tomorrow. They're going to have to do something. Pitching staff, just wow. We're going to talk a little bit about that pitching staff here. Burns, Peralta, and Brandon Woodruff. Now, two times through the rotation. Are you okay with this? Burns, I don't know if he sits next to Chase Anderson on flights. I don't believe their lockers are next to each other, but something may have rubbed off on Chase Anderson to Corbin Burns in terms of giving up home runs. He gave up 3 of them again tonight. Last weekend in his first start, first major league start, he gave up 3 home runs against the St. Louis Cardinals. That's not a good habit to get into. Just ask Chase Anderson. This game, I think it turned the spark of the game. We just heard it, brought to you by Current Electric. That was Ryan Braun's home run to get the Brewers within 2 in the 7th inning. And they were down 7-2. Ronnie hits the three-run bomb. It's 7-5. You got a ball game right there. Did you consider bringing in Josh Hader at that time? He hasn't pitched since Tuesday. I know it just wiggled into my mind just a little bit. They didn't do it last year. Everybody wondering early on to midseason, hey, man, aren't you going with Josh Hader in a tie ball game or when the Brewers are down one or two? You want to hold the other team right there? And Josh is pretty good at holding the other team where they're at, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think either Hader in the eighth inning, and again, this is a little bit of hindsight going on, but I think if either Hader's in the eighth or Alex Wilson in the eighth inning gets the shutdown inning, I firmly believe Brewers would have won this baseball game. So sometimes you got to trust that the offense, and against the Cubs bullpen, you see what happens with this Cub bullpen. They can be had. And they made a couple of moves today prior to the game. Carl Edwards Jr. sent to AAA, and Montgomery added to the IL. They bring up a couple of younger dudes. They both got into the ball game tonight. Speaking of AAA, the fact that Taylor Williams got in this baseball game again to mop up for a couple of innings, what does that mean, everybody?
Sayonara.
It means you win. Taylor Williams, step up, because you won the grand prize of a free all-expenses flight to AAA San Antonio. I believe it could be Petrichka coming up. It could be Adrian Hauser on the way. Josh Fields is an opportunity there. Good news on Jeremy Jeffress that they're targeting possibly the next homestand. So things looking bright, but what a big game. Are you a little bit concerned with the pitching here? In twofold. Number one, in this series, because giving up 24 runs in two games, man, that's, wow, okay. Stating the obvious here, that's got to stop, and that's got to stop now. But number two, thus far through the season, and namely the younger dudes, we did a little turn your head and cough check on Burns, Peralta, and Woodruff. Their first time through, second time through, does it get any better? Or are you somewhat concerned there with the pitching here? 42,000 plus at Miller Park for this one. Crowd jacked. Crowd was jacked early. And all of a sudden, both sides, both Brewers fans and Cubs fans, kind of settled into the game, right?
Yeah.
Didn't seem as loud.
No, it definitely got quiet in the middle innings. You know, there were early when the Brewers were still in it, you know, Christian Yelich was at the plate. You heard the MVP.
They tried.
Yeah,
it was you guys tried.
A bad attempt.
I'll give you the effort. You know, I'll give you the effort, but just it didn't come quite to fruition.
It's three letters. How hard can it be to chant MVP? MVP? MVP?
See how easy that is?
It's simple. It's absolutely simple. They sound ridiculous when you're hearing it coming through the radio, but
I wonder if the scoreboard could help out in that regard.
You would think so, but you know, the good thing is that the fact that you can't put three letters together in a simple cadence probably means that a lot of the beer vendors were tipped very well today.
You bet.
And good for them. Those guys work hard. You should tip them every time you grab a drink.
I'll tell you, in regards to pitching, I'm not hitting any sort of panic button right now. I'm just not. Right out front here, there is a little bit of mild concern here. Just a little bit. How can there not be? We've always stated that we're going to be honest on this show for now 14 years. And just a little bit. Guys, it's 24 runs. Look at the numbers two times through for Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta. Peralta stepped up, obviously, with a second start there. And again, it's early. I fully understand that. Just a little bit, man.
Yeah, there's a twinge. But you can't overreact because, okay, the Brewers, you know, they start out 7-1. And they won, what, five of those games were one-run ball games.
Yep.
You know, this is the first time that they got just pounded and gave up tons of runs. And yes, it happened in back-to-back games.
Yep.
And yes, it happened to, you know, to their rival in the Chicago Cubs. But, you know, they weren't going to win games 3-2 all season long.
See, you can't have it both ways. You can't have it to where you say every game is important, especially head-to-head, two-game swing. Last year, example, you know, exhibit number one is it came down to a tie.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you say, oh, well, man, this, you know, it's just a couple of games. And, well, this game here could make the difference, big picture. So just a little mild concern. You're still wanting a situation to get Josh Hader in the baseball game. You can't find it. You couldn't find it yesterday. You couldn't find it today. Maybe you found it. Maybe you were thinking about it. Want to get your reaction here on this Brewers loss to the Cubs here. Man, I hate this team. I hate this team. Every time they lose to this team, hate it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, they gave up double digits yesterday and they won. They give up double digits today and they lost. So to me, this sets up like a perfect Sunday that's going to come down 1-0, 2-1 kind of game, you know, where you get all the offensive fireworks in the first two games of the series.
And then it's 2-1.
Classic pitcher's duel.
It could be. Could be. 799-1250. Also, those of you coming out of Miller Park, if you were at the game, was it a little more civil in tonight's ball game inside Miller Park than it was yesterday? Because we did finally get some video in. I know it's radio and all that, but you know we have to play it a little bit. You can tell the chaos. This is right down near the escalator in one of the concourses there. You can hear the chaos. We were talking about this last night about, you know, people controlling themselves, and there really is no reason to get into a brawl at a baseball game in the stands. It just isn't. This is sent to us by, who sent it to us, Ronnie?
Yep, this was sent in by Sexton Ronnie. He's on Twitter, SextonRonnie3.
Thank you, Ronnie.
And, yeah, thank you very much. We asked for it yesterday, and we got it.
Yeah, a little audio clip here. I know it's, you know, there's a video here of punches being thrown and just sort of a melee, but you'll get the gist of it here. Just a few seconds of this audio.
Some haymakers getting thrown. Oh, there are
girls involved.
Yeah, there's some girls in it. There's some guys in it. That poor peanut rack with some cotton candy on the bottom, that just went over.
Jeez. Was it a little more civil in there tonight? Your reaction on the ball game as well. And do you agree or disagree with maybe just a little bit? You can rifle it through social media. I don't care. I mean, that Tim's freaking out about the pitching. All I'm saying is a little mild concern. 799-1250 is you're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Mill Hockey here in the Hyundai of West Dallas postgame studios. Get an update from Sam here and come back. Continue to have a conversation about this Brewers-Cubs rivalry and how it was at Miller Park tonight. The scoreboard wasn't fun. We'll be back on The Fan.
In every game, there's a moment when you say to yourself, are you kidding me? Here's the Gene Wagner Plumbing, are you kidding me? Moment of the game. A company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
Welcome back. 14-8 final. Cubs take game two of this three-game set. Are you kidding me? 24 runs given up by the Brewers pitching staff just in tonight's game alone. Hold on. Let me find it. Let's see. Corbin Burns, he got the start tonight. He goes five innings of work, gives up six hits, seven earned runs, three walks, and six strikeouts. Three homers given up. Junior Guerra, one inning. No runs, no hits. A couple of walks, however. Jacob Barnes, one inning. Nothing with a strikeout. Hey, Jacob Barnes does play on this baseball team.
Yeah, good outing for him.
Then we get to Alex Wilson. One third of an inning, four hits, six runs earned, a couple of walks and a strikeout. Taylor Williams, couple of innings pitched with a run. Alex Wilson, you talk about a tipping point in that game. Top of the eighth inning, Cubs put up a seven spot right there. Brewers had cut it to a 7-5 game. Are you kidding me? Pitching. Ay, ay, ay. Are you kidding me? Moment of the game brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust. Check them out at GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. Mild concern. That's the question. Not are you concerned, because we shouldn't be freaking out over a 7-2 start, right, Tim?
That's right.
Okay. Check. I'm in there with you. 7-2, great. But is there mild concern with some of the numbers, namely 24 runs in these two games? Now, the Brewers put up 21, so the Cubs got their own problems. Want to get your thoughts. Also, if you were at Miller Park, was it a little more well-behaved tonight? We had a little bit of an issue.
Melee?
A little bit of a melee. Yeah, okay, fine. Let's go to David. David, you're on the Fan. What's happening? What's up, David?
Hey guys, I was on the first baseline. Number one, I'll say I'm not concerned. And just 2 points, one about the Cubs. They were not well-behaved in Section 109. Inebriated, I watched Sam get walked out by security, and just generally annoying as can be.
Well, the generally annoying part, David, I'll keep you right here, but the generally annoying part of it, I can deal with that. You can deal with that, right?
Let me rephrase. More than generally annoying. We've all seen generally annoying Cubs fans. They were in special form. They were in 1-7 mode tonight. But my second point, and this is about the Brewers, I think Corbin Burnes, Brandon Woodruff, Freddie Peralta, there's going to be some serious highs and lows this season. But every start they get under their belt, I am psyched, because the ceiling on all three of these guys is way up there. So I'll take these lumps, because I know they're going to throw some gems in there, just like Freddie did. The bullpen, on the other hand, Alex Wilson is not your second best reliever right now. So we need Jeffress back quick, and we need some help.
So you saw some Cub fans removed?
I saw Cubs fans removed, and they weren't. I didn't see the fight, but it was just like, flashing your Cub flag, and it's just brushing against the Brewers season seat holder in front of them, and just beer splashing, and it was, edgy. Let me just put it that way. I was annoyed, and I've got a pretty wide spectrum of, Cubs' ability to handle. It was.
All right, David, thanks for all the info. We appreciate that. 799-1250. Yeah, I mean, what do you do if, the dude, went to the bathroom or whatever, and then he comes back and he intentionally, knees you or bumps the back of your head or, I mean.
It's a tough call.
It is.
It's a tough call, you got guys out there acting like amateur hour and, it puts you in a bad position.
799-1250. You mentioned, and I agree with you that the ceilings are high on all three of these young pitchers. And there will be some growing pains. We all know that. But some of these numbers, you have to take a look at. Freddie Peralta, 2 starts. I'm liking this overall. 1-0. 11 innings pitched, 8 hits, just 4 earned runs, 3 walks, 14 Ks, ERA 3.27. We'll take that out of Freddie Peralta, right?
Absolutely, any day of the week.
Yeah, Brandon Woodruff, through his 2 starts, he's 1-0, 9 innings pitched, 12 hits, 6 earnings, 3 walks, 13 strikeouts, ERA of 6.00.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shaky.
And then there's Corbin Burnes, who I think has the highest ceiling out of all three. And after tonight's start, 2 starts, he's 0-1, 10 innings pitched, 12 hits, 11 earned runs, 4 walks, 18 strikeouts, 6 home runs given up.
Yeah.
So, young pitchers, you never, ever know. Let's get back to you guys, 799-1250. Ryan, you're next. On the Fan. Good evening, Ryan.
Hey, I wanted to say that people were getting thrown out tonight, and I want to say that Eric James will be playing for Aguilar tomorrow if we want to win. Aguilar right now has no – he has no sight of first base right now. He doesn't know where first base is right now.
Yeah, so what did you see inside of Miller Park?
People were getting tossed out.
Did you see any fights or anything?
Not really, but just people that were just talking, and they were kicking them out.
Okay. How were the Cubs fans around you in your seats, Ryan?
Annoying. Annoying like Cubs fans are.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
It's not against the rules or against the law to be annoying.
And you are allowed to cheer for your team, even if they are the opposing team.
You can't use profanity. You got to keep your clothes on. You can't touch anyone. These are all just civility guidelines.
Yeah, don't throw anything.
You can't throw things, right? Including peanuts.
Yeah, exactly.
Airplanes. Okay, I've been known to do that from the upper deck years ago at County Stadium, throwing airplanes down. Yeah. But just being annoying and rooting for your team, I know it's tough. Because this rivalry is what it is, and it is a rivalry. And this nonsense about the Cubs Brewers don't have a rivalry, Hamels, is just not true. I wonder if he has changed that tune. After those comments from last year, Jeff, do you think Cole Hamels has changed his tune on that?
See, I don't know because, I've been in the studio for both of these games, so I wasn't able to accurately judge what the percentage, because his point, Hamels, when he said it last season, was until the Brewers fans start selling out Miller Park for these games, it's not going to be a rivalry. We got calls last night that said it was about 60-40 Cubs. I'm not sure exactly what it was tonight on TV. You know, there was a lot of Cubby blue that was visible. But I don't know what the percentage was. So do I think he changed his mind? Not after two games this season. But if, the Brewers show up, Brewers fans show up, and the cheers are twice as loud for the crew as they are for the Northsiders, then absolutely, I think he'll change his mind real quick.
No, but he went through the latter half of the season last year, though, too, to base his opinion on it, including
163, where the crew fans took over Wrigley.
Yeah, including that game and then these two here. I mean, I don't see how you are not seeing a rivalry. I wonder if there's going to be maybe a correction. There's our correction of the game. Hopefully, brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction. Hopefully from Hamels, that he may rethink those comments last year. He didn't have the experience to even make the comments last year.
Yeah, but the thing is that when you make comments like that, very rarely do you get somebody that actually walks them back.
Right.
Even if you have definitive proof that you are 100% wrong, people that make comments like that so rarely walk them back because either they're not big enough to admit that they're wrong or they just don't care.
But maybe there's a certain line he could say that, hey, man, this thing is pretty tense, intense. Rivalry here between us and the Brewers. Man, this is kind of fun going at it this way.
But I don't think he'll say it because I think he knows it gets under your skin. Not you personally.
Well, me too, personally.
But,
yeah.
You know, of course. But, yeah, I think he won't say it even, it's fairly obvious that this is a rivalry. And, he won't say it because he knows it gets to people.
7-2, not a bad start, but understand the question. Not is there concerns over the pitching staff. Is there a mild concern? Yes or no?
Well, we got Brian in Shorewood. He's waiting, and he says that he's concerned, Timmy. Brian, you're on the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. What you got, buddy?
What's up, dude?
Yeah, I love this show, and I'm not calling tonight because they lost. Like, I didn't call Sunday when they won. My concern is Meatloaf says 2 out of 3 is not bad. And if you get 2 or 3 of these guys to be okay, that'll be nice. But I just can't see, with 3 rookie pitchers pitching in a starting rotation, that you're going to go far. There's too many bumps and bruises. And it's just not the 24 runs they gave up the last two nights. They gave up 9 runs to the Cardinals. There's been other games where they've given up 5 or 6 runs, and that's just way too much pressure to be putting on the back end of the bullpen now, especially with Knebel not here and Jeffries injured. You can't depend on that hitting. And, you know, like any other thing, pitching is going to stop good hitting in longer stretches, and good hitting is going to kill pitching. And I just see that the Brewers, they definitely need another pitcher. They need somebody to kind of like to be the guidance on the mound in the dugout in the locker room to say, hey, don't panic. It's just one game. Wait for the next game. Suit up. Worry, don't look back. Don't worry about this game. Everybody has a bad outing. Even Koufax had a bad outing. But the problem is that when you get into these rookie pitchers and they're giving up 5, 6, 7 runs consistently, what ends up happening is you start losing confidence, and nothing worse than having a pitcher's confidence shattered. I think that's worse than a hitter at the plate, because they can get on many ways. When that pitcher's on the mound, he's by himself. And when you get 2 or 3 times through the rotation and they may have only won once, that really starts knocking their confidence, and all of a sudden they're like shell-shocked, and they try to be too perfect.
Yeah, no, I agree with almost everything you're saying here, Brian. It's well stated, but I will say this. How do you measure that? All of what you said is valid, but how do you measure that with letting these guys mature? And part of that is going through games like this.
What I would have did is I would have kept at least one of them in the bullpen. They were great in the playoffs. I don't think the Brewers would ever got the Game 7 against the Dodgers without Woodruff, without Burns. But putting all 3 of them in there, yep. I think yep. it's just too much pressure on the pitching staff in general, and it's going to taxi. By July, the bullpen is going to be taxi with 3 rookie pitchers, sometimes barely getting into the 4th or 5th inning with nearing 100 pitches every time.
Yeah, I will say this, Brian, great stuff, man. Thanks for the call. I will say this. I was stunned that all 3 made the rotation.
I was, too, but what's the option? Junior Guerra, you're going to give him another shot? You're going to give Chase Anderson another shot?
Honestly, you caught lightning in a bottle with Wade Miley last year.
Well, yeah, that was my boy. I loved him last season.
I personally would have gone Josh Tomlin, the veteran, just as a stabilizer down in there while these guys, you can insert these guys when needed. That's just me. And they obviously chose a different path. Mild concern. Some yes, some no. Some say it's too early. What do you say? 799-1250. Some of the numbers... I mean, it's 2 starts. There were some good things. The strikeouts for Corbin Burns, those are good.
Yeah.
And it's a high number. But the home runs given up, that's a high number too.
Well, and the problem 6 with strikeouts, the high number of strikeouts means a high number of pitches.
Yeah, well, that comes down to a baseball thing. You and I talked during the game off the air. I'm not sure I'd like a slugfest game like this. I know MLB as a whole probably digs it. I'm not a big fan. I never have been. Well over a decade on this show. You guys know that. I love a 2-1 game, man. I love it. I love a chess match game. I love a moving a runner over, hit behind the runner, hit and run, steal. You name it.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, like you said, MLB loved a game like tonight. And, you know, even though the talk is all about speeding up the pace of play, quote unquote pace of play.
Look at the game time on this one.
Oh, I know. It's unreal. It's
turned
unreal.
Into a 7-10 start, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did.
799-1250 as the Brewers fall 14-8. Series tied at 1. You're talking about a fun game early on in the season. That's the one tomorrow. This whole series. Fun. There's the fun factor involved in this too. As much as I get all bent out of shape because it's Cubs and it's at Miller Park, it still is, as we previewed this series on Friday on a couple of different shows, you've got some of the best baseball players on the planet at Miller Park going at each other.
Yeah.
On the planet. Guys, think about that. There's 750 players in the majors right now. And you've got more than a couple of handfuls of MVPs, Rookie of the Years, and All-Stars laden all over the place. Then you have young up-and-coming stars. Yeah, it's fun. Davies and Hendricks tomorrow, they're going to go at it. Game 3 in the final series. How was everybody at Miller Park? Still, still kind of strange that yesterday. It's still ringing true, and that comment we got last night that somebody was uncomfortable going to a ball game at Miller Park. We also want to get to prices. I got a call from cousin Johnny today.
Johnny, what's up?
Yeah. And he said, hey, can you get me tickets for the game? No, I can't. Was the first response. And it was quick. It's like a shotgun went off.
You don't walk around with a couple hundred tickets in your pocket?
Yeah. And I said, well, I can call, you know, my buddy at in the ticket office and, you know, see what I can get for you. You got to pay for them. I can get a decent deal, whatever. And yeah. He said, give me the cheapest seat in. We're going to go over the ticket pricing that is going on at Miller Park, too. I think it's really interesting. We haven't done this in a few years, but it's really, really interesting when you compare the Cubs in, the Cardinals in, and then you look down at Wrigley Field tickets and their pricing as well. And I think you'll be surprised a little bit how inexpensive it is to go see your Milwaukee Brewers is absolutely amazing to me.
Yeah.
I don't care what day of the week it is. The fact remains, it's the Milwaukee Brewers, a Major League Baseball team. And you can get in for how much? We'll talk about that next and more here on The Fan.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not?
Brewers, they fall in game two here, 14-8. And they win yesterday, 13-10, 45 runs given up, well, by both teams combined. I guess scored by both teams, maybe a more positive way to put it. 45 runs in the series thus far, and it's been two games.
Yeah.
In a second here, we'll check out who's hot, who's not. Sam, if you want to grab, don't look now. Ryan Braun is having a good season. Again, we always preface everything we say. I don't think we should have to, but we might as well. It's still early. But Brawny, how about it?
That new swing, that launch angle he's looking for, it's paying dividends so far.
Early indicators. Yeah, for sure. We'll get to Brawny's numbers season thus far in just a second here. Let's get to Matt here. Matt, you're on The Fan. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I mean, I kind of talked to you guys about a week ago about the whole revenue situation and the payroll.
Yeah.
Looking at some of these guys that are still floating out there. I just can't see how there's really too much justification. If you're really going for it, and you're really going for a ring in these next couple of years, not to make the dive in on Keuchel at this point.
There we go. I knew it was coming. No, I'll keep you here, Matt, but I knew it was coming, right? Sound the alarm because we now have a Dallas Keuchel mention.
Well, I mean, I'm not even sounding the alarm. I was even saying this about a week ago.
Yeah.
It gives you that stability. You've got a reliable guy the next 3-4 years or whatever it's going to be. You've got the revenue flexibility. You've got the payroll flexibility coming up here. I'll just say this. Grandal was not the right move. I'm going to say this early on because I saw it last year when I'd watch the Dodger games late at night on MLB Network. The guy he might be great at pitch framing, but his overall defensive game, you saw them just stealing base after base after base. And these are not, you know, what's his name, Gore. These are not your, what was the guy in Cincinnati? I'm blanking on his name.
Hamilton.
These are not elite base runners that were just running and swiping bags on them all night. You got to give Manny Pena more starts to just even it out on the defense. Grandal got his homer. That was good. He's getting it going with the bat. But the defense is not there with the guy. A 16 mil for that and potentially 16 mil if you take the option on him next year. I mean, I don't know if that's something they're going to end up doing. I mean, I'm not in the front office. I don't have the street cred to really point to be like, I know what to do and everything. But just from observing things here, and it's tough sometimes to make the decision. Did it, should they have gone after Wilson Ramos or not? But it is what it is. I'm really hoping Grandal gets has a solid year here because they put a lot of money into him for this year. But they still got that flexibility coming up now to, you know, take the dive on, say, Keuchel, or even if you want to go Kimbrel, shore up the bullpen because he's got some of these guys that are younger. You're Taylor Williams. Maybe you need that veteran guy to come into that bullpen for a few years. You're a Trevor Hoffman type scenario. Now, there's different types of people, Kimbrel and Hoffman. Not trying to equate the two, but maybe they can pick the brain of Kimbrel, some of the guys in the bullpen, and learn some things or get a couple pointers on a couple things. Maybe he can say, hey, you're holding your grip a little differently. Here's what I like to do with that. You never know.
All right, Matt, here's an honest question for you. Go back 2 years when Yu Darvish was on the market, and the Brewers, you know, had a chance to go after Yu Darvish. Did you want him honestly back then?
No, because he gives up the home run too much.
Well, and I think
the home run park.
Yeah, well, that too, and a lot of people had said that, you know, down the stretch and into the postseason, he just wasn't good.
Well, a lot of people are saying that Keuchel is, you know, losing it as well, and his stuff doesn't have the same bite or the same speed that it had before either.
Matt, I'll just
a former Cy Young winner.
Yeah. All right, Matt, I got you. Listen on the air for my response here. Number one, is it as easy as signing what everyone would consider a frontline starter in Dallas Keuchel, right?
Right.
And signing a very good reliever in Craig Kimbrel. Is it that easy?
It's that easy if it's not your own money.
In theory, yes. That's all I will respond that way. There must be some things through negotiating and, you know, maybe a player doesn't want to come here. I don't see why that would be, but okay, fair. It's possible. But number two, Matt, let me just say this on a personal note. Don't ever apologize for your opinion. You don't need to compare yourself with guys that are getting millions of dollars with the baseball intellect that is at the top of the world. You don't need to apologize for that. And I'll tell you why. Over the years, a lot of you guys are right. You guys are right, and they have been wrong. Just remember that. I'm not saying you're right all the time and they're wrong all the time. That's not what I'm saying. But there are times where you are right on the money. Could be Matt, could be any of our callers sitting here on hold, could be a caller I took 7 years ago. We do know a little something about baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And it's okay to be right sometimes. It's all right. You don't have to be right and then apologize for it.
Well, I say not even just with sports. Don't apologize for your opinion at all.
Yeah, that's that too. 799-1250. Sam, you got Brawny's numbers on the season thus far?
Oh, yeah.
What you got?
All right, so these are current and up-to-date. In 32 at-bats, Brawn currently has 4 runs. He has 9 hits and 3 home runs. And in those 3 home runs, he's driven in 12 RBIs. He's currently hitting .281 this season and has a .906 OPS.
Knocked in 12 runs in the 9 games here. Who's hot, who's not? I think we can say that's sort of a hot start for Ryan Braun in the 2019 championship season. Who's hot, who's not? Brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. Let's get Todd in here. Howdy, boys, is on the air. What's up, Todd?
Oh, howdy, boys. Houston, we may have a problem. When Derek Johnson was let go, I thought about it.
Here we go. It's on the alarm.
Set the alarm, boys. It's coming at you. You got a 5 alarm here. I've been thinking about it a lot, and I thought about it. Didn't make sense. And I thought, well, you know, Peralta, Burns, and Woodruff came up, and Derek Johnson, it wasn't the money. He was pushed out. And I think he was pushed out for Peralta, Burns, and Woodruff to come up. And, you know, it's just like your dad taking you to school. Okay, you're in eighth grade. Man, boys, we're going to high school this year. We need, you know, dad drive us up to school. So guess what? The new coach took Woodruff, Peralta, and Burns, put them in a station wagon, drove them to Milwaukee. Now he's their new coach. So I think it's been a fatal flaw by upper management, because these guys got here. Okay, it's just like when you go to high school. You're expected to do certain things. And you get out of high school and you go to college, and there's no maturation unless the professor's up your butt to do better. But guess what? You get to college, the professor doesn't care if you're there or you're not.
Well, Chris Hook had an opportunity, however, to work with these guys in this scenario in high school. In the minors.
But look at Timmy, look at the rest of the staff. They've all been failing because you know what? He's only geared around these three dudes.
Yeah, I don't know if all of them are failing here. I mean, I'm not sure of that.
Just kind of, I know they're not failing, but I believe if DJ was still here, he would have pushed Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta to the next level.
Okay.
Well, your last caller said, oh, yeah, we need to get another pitcher in here to tell these guys how to do it. No, you don't. That's the coach's job. And I think it's been, I pray to God it's not been an epic failure by the management or the upper management to do this, but that's the way I'm kind of leaning.
Okay, gotcha, Todd. It's all part of competing and rebuilding at the same time. That's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that. To me, it makes me feel better knowing that. Now, is there mild concern from me with the three young dudes? Yeah, but that's naturally built in simply because they're young.
Well, and there's natural trepidation. You didn't go into this season thinking that all three of those guys were going to be competing 1, 2, 3 for a Cy Young either.
No.
So you knew that the rough spots were coming. And, you know, there's been a couple bumps in the road so far.
The deal on Derek Johnson, former Brewers pitching coach, now in Cincinnati. My opinion only, I believe he didn't agree with the pitching philosophy. Everybody just knee-jerks that this was a money thing. It's just my opinion. What I know in and around Brewers baseball, he did not believe in this bullpenning. There was some sort of inner strife as to philosophical differences. How about we put it that way?
Yeah.
On how to handle pitching. I don't think it had anything to do with the money. I don't think it had anything to do with proximity. It had everything to do with, hey, man, this is I don't want to function a pitching staff like this. And I'm your pitching coach, and you don't want me to do my job, so I got to go elsewhere. That's just my thought. 799-1250. Bruce is next. Bruce, you're on the Fan.
Yes, Tim. I'm going to tell you, Corbin Burns is not the pitcher that everybody's talking about. He stunk last Sunday, even though what's his name, Yelich saved him. And then today was not worse. It was ugly. And you're talking about our pitchers? Let me tell you something. You know, the only guy that's pitching well is the guy that started, won two games. That's what's his name?
Chassin.
He started, yeah. That's the only guy that's pitching well on this staff. Woodward hasn't pitched well in either game, even though he won one of the games. And then you haven't seen a pitcher other than Chassin go more than 6 innings. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. Peralta.
Freddy Peralta.
Yep, he went 8. But he look at his ERA, even though he pitched a poor opener, he still has a 3.26 ERA.
Yeah, yeah.
Corbin Burns will probably have an 8 ERA after the first two games. He allowed 4 runs in the first game, and he allowed 7 runs today. That's 11 runs in 2 games.
So a mild concern would be putting it lightly. For Bruce.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's not a mild concern. It's a major concern. And by the way,
okay.
the pitching coach is not the problem. The person that made a mistake and let Wiley go is now going to suffer. Because guess what? Any team that has left-handers is going to come in here and say, yeah, we got all those right-handers in Milwaukee. There isn't a left-hander in Milwaukee. So guess what? I can't remember the last time a team won a World Series without a left-hander in their starting rotation.
All right, I don't know. I'd have to think about it. Thank you, Bruce. I get it. People have different levels of concern.
He sounded concerned.
I would not rank that as mild. Okay? And I understand. Hey, it's wiggling way in the back there for me. But that's fairly consistent with our conversations in Arizona, our conversations in the offseason, that our thought process was, of the three, which two make the rotation? Because, my goodness, you're not putting all three of them in the rotation, are you, David Stearns? Are you, Craig Counsell? They did it. There will be some growing pains in there.
Yeah, Bruce, take a breath.
I love Bruce.
You know, I do too. He's a phenomenal caller.
Yep. Yep.
He said that he thought that Corbin Burns' ERA was, you know, around 8 after the two starts. Bruce, grab a seat. It's at 9.9.
Yeah.
So, you know, still continue to breathe, please. And, you know, just try to relax, buddy. Try to relax.
So I tried getting tickets for Cousin Johnny tonight, and the cheapest seat in the house from Brewers, from the Brewers organization, not on the secondary market, $39 plus the fees.
Okay.
$39, which, you know, I don't know if it's that awful. Do you?
You know, if you're way up in the nosebleeds, like
it
if
is.
You're out in the outfield in, you know, upper deck, I've sat there a couple times where you're, you know, about the height of the top of the scoreboard, those seats are awful.
So if we fast forward to the next Saturday night game, because I think that's a fair comparison, right?
Yeah.
The next Saturday night game is against the Dodgers 2 weeks from tonight. And that is an $18 ticket.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, Cubs in, $39. Brewers play the Dodgers. Dodgers in, $18. Now let's go to the next.
And that's an NLCS rematch.
Yeah. Now the non-weekend game, found a ticket through the Brewers, not the secondary market. What'd you say? $6?
$6.
$6 to see a Major League Baseball game in a park that is just beautiful for a team that had the best record in the National League 1 year ago.
And the MVP.
$6.
$6.
Love it. Love it. Now, is it price gouging in terms of, you know, the Cubs in town and $39 and all that? That's a different debate. And, you know, $39 to somebody is a lot of money and others is nothing. So that's tough to compare. But I thought I'd throw those three comparisons at you. A Saturday night game at Wrigley was, that was that $24?
Yep.
$24. Tickets still available. This whole thing about the Cubs selling out Wrigley Field every game, every year, those days are over.
Right.
That's probably good. I guess it's good planning, because if you're sold out, it means you're not charging enough. So you want to be just undersold out is the, I guess, the marketing or sales principle in there.
Yeah.
But I thought that was an interesting comparison here. But $39 tonight, cheapest seat. In the house, 42,000 plus. Brewers and Cubs go at it. Cubs get the best of the Brewers in game two of this three-game set. 14-8 the final. A huge game coming up tomorrow. Still getting your reaction. Were the Cub fans behaving themselves and pitching? Understand the question. I'm not asking, is it a concern? Is it just a mild concern? Your chance to be a forecaster, if you will. Look into the crystal ball. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here in the Hyundai of West Allis postgame studios on The Fan.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
14-8, Brewers take one on the chin here in Game 2 of this three-game set. We're getting your reaction on that, among other things. Pitching, topic of conversation as well. Just got a text from a buddy of mine that says Josh Tomlin is garbage. If he was that good, he'd still be in Cleveland. And You can always go back to Tomlin if things don't work out. See, I would have done it in reverse. I would have went with the veteran, tried to capture a Wade Miley-type season.
Yeah.
And then integrated another one of these younger guys in. A drive of the game in this one with wrench and go. How about we go back to 6'10", maybe about 6'20"-ish, 6'21"-ish. And that was when the Brewers stepped up after Burns throws a scoreless top of the first. It was huge. And then the Brewers, it was happy times when Lo Kane stepped up.
He was top five in the Cy Young Award voting one of those years. Kane sends one deep to right. That is way back. And it is gone. Lorenzo Kane, opposite field smash. What a way to start the night for the Brewers.
Yeah, highlight from Fox Sports Wisconsin, Brian Anderson on that call. And we'll get back to your reaction, 414-799-1250. Tim Allen and Jeff Orlowski, the Polish Pipe Bomb, hanging out. Baby T is Admirals tonight again. Boy, a busy night in sports here.
Yeah, absolutely. Final Four games going on. There's
Bucks.
Just Bucks sports everywhere.
Admirals.
Sportsgasm.
Let's go to Gary. He's been on hold for a while. Gary, you're on the fan.
Tim and Jeff, hope you boys are doing well tonight. Want to touch base on both the pitching situation and the Cubs fans in general. First of all, as far as pitching, I'm not any more or less concerned now than I was when they broke spring training, simply from the standpoint that in Stearns we trust. You got to figure if they're in it again, he will make these key moves like he has the past couple years. And there's also one big name that we're just waiting for him to finish getting healthy. And if he was healthy, these three guys, all three of them, would not be in the rotation. And I'm, of course, talking about Jimmy Nelson.
Yeah.
When he comes back, that is a game changer. But until then, unfortunately, we have to do a lot of what we did last year. And it's that smoke and mirrors bullpen that baseball purists hate. But at the end of the day, all that the record shows, did you win? Did you lose? That's all that matters.
It is. And find a way to win. We'll keep it right here. I want to get your thoughts on the Cub fans. But I think a big key to this is going to be the middle relief. And I mean middle of the game. It happened again tonight, Junior Guerra. I think they wanted a little more length out of Junior Guerra. He just didn't have it tonight, so they couldn't do that. Although it didn't come back to burn him too bad because Jacob Barnes had a scoreless inning in there as well. And Chase Anderson. These two guys are going to have to bridge the gap to the back end boys. And that's, you know, Alex Wilson and Josh Hader and eventually Jeremy Jeffress.
Well, and what we could really use, quite honestly, is that Marco Estrada type guy that could, you know, as a starter, could never really put it together for more than five or six innings.
Yeah.
But was that knockout middle reliever, that long reliever that you needed.
Yes.
Being in central Illinois where I am, I'm surrounded by Cubs and Cardinals fans. And first of all, I will tell you, Cubs fans, they don't see us as rivals. They don't. Their rivals are the Cardinals. And if you think anything other than that, You're joking yourself. The Cubs organization, the fans, do not see us as rivals. We're that cute little team from Milwaukee with a really nice ballpark that's better than Wrigley Field that they can actually get tickets to.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught the show last night, Gary, though. I think those days are about over, though. I do.
I live with these morons. I'm in Illinois. It is. I am the equal distance to go to Milwaukee or to go to St. Louis. And I will tell you, I will absolutely never, ever, ever go to another Brewers-Cubs game because I don't want to deal with the drunks, with the violence, with the fight versus, I mean, Cardinals fans, they're pompous. They're arrogant. You know what? Unfortunately, they have the rings. They can kind of back it up. But I have never gone to a game in St. Louis where I have felt like this guy is going to spill his beer on me, get PO'd because I wasted his beer that he spilled on me and try to punch me out versus the last Cubs Brewers game I went to. I had four guys as I was walking back to preferred parking that started chirping at me. I don't drink anywhere, let alone at a Brewers game, completely sober. And I'm just head down. These guys are talking stupid. And I was honestly afraid that I was going to get jumped.
Okay. So
I was wearing Brewers gear.
Gary, okay, it wasn't talking stupid, like, personal to you. It was talking stupid, like, you know, Cubs rule and your Brewers suck and things like that, or what?
No, it was like these guys kind of started walking towards me, fronting up towards me, like they were, and they were talking like they wanted to beat the daylights out of me. And as much as I wanted to say real tough guys, war against one middle-aged guy who's bald, fat, has glasses and everything. But you got to tell, you know, most of these Cubs fans, they're pretty cheap and they're pretty dumb. I mean, this was 2012 and they were wearing Kerry Wood jerseys and had already been retired for 4 or 5 years. I mean, these aren't the sharpest people when they're sober. You put alcohol in it and they get even dumber.
Okay, Gary, always a pleasure, man. Thanks a lot. Drive careful, all right?
Yeah, I got a lot in common with Gary.
Let me
add him. It was like he described me when he was describing himself right there.
Let me add him. Put up your dukes. Leslie and Madison, you're next on the Fan.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. What's happening?
I'm a season ticket holder for the Brewers, and I was listening. There's this guy next to us, a Cubs fan, and I was relating what Gary was just saying. They're out of control, especially for a team that's going nowhere this year.
Is it that bad? I'm actually getting a little concerned over that in the last two nights.
Yeah, he was pretty bad. I mean, it was. And you would think that you'd go to somebody else's home field and you'd keep your mouth shut, but that's just my theory. You know?
Well, I don't mind them backing their team and yeah, come on, Rizzo or whatever the hell they're gonna do. That's fine.
Yeah.
For however it got to some sort of personal issue or violence, that part I don't get.
It was a little out of control. And one of my friends that I have season tickets with, Helms, he was actually telling me that Bob Uecker is retiring after this year, but that was the other point I wanted to make.
So you have an inside source that says Uke is retiring?
Well, because they were talking about, apparently they want to bring back, which I think is ridiculous, they want to bring back the Mr. Belvedere show. I don't think that's happening.
Haven't heard that. I life without Bob Uecker is going to be empty summers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it definitely will be. All right. Hey, thanks for the call, Leslie. Call anytime, all right?
Thank you.
Is it that bad in the trenches at Miller Park during Cubs Brewers games?
Well, that's back to back callers that I would classify in the uncomfortable, category, like the guy that we talked to yesterday. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like
you
it.
Let's get the audio up of an incident that happened last night at Miller Park, and this literally, legitimately, a multi-person, can we call it a brawl?
Yeah, I would call it a melee, absolutely.
Cotton candy and a popcorn stand just sort of knocked down and people swinging and the whole deal. We had my nephew Jake in last night. He was at the game, and he came in and said, hey, man, three rows, just hold out of here. You guys are all gone. They just almost a full section of people just removed. But this is the audio, and I don't know how this is going to play through the speakers, how it's going to throw, but for what it's worth, let's check it out again.
Haymakers again. Men, women going at it. There goes the peanuts.
Well, and I don't mean to laugh if anyone got hurt, because it's pretty sad when you think about it.
It is.
I get as passionate and as emotional as any Brewer fan this side of Denver. You know that.
Of course. Yeah, you know, it.
But to do that?
No. It's a sad state.
At a professional sporting event.
In the misguided Tim Allen youth, where was the place where you actually got into the most fights?
On a playground?
Okay.
That's about it. Patrol belt. Billy's going to lose his mind if he hears this. So, tape's rolling for you, baby Tosh. There was this kid named Danny Lindell, who, when were you a safety patrol dude or no?
Come on. No way.
Okay. I didn't ask if you were a Boy Scout. I just said safety patrol. Is that the same thing?
Yeah. No to both.
So there's a way you bundled up your patrol belt. You wrapped it up and then you left a little loop out so you could go around your wrist with it.
Okay.
And so Danny was, I don't know, picking a fight or whatever. So I used it sort of in my fist for a punch. It gave me a little extra in there. That's I don't remember fighting. Just more diplomacy and talk my way out of stuff. And that's why maybe someone said, get a job talking. People pay you money.
Well, it's worked out for you, I'll tell you that.
It did work out. And we're talking Brewers baseball tonight. Need to get to Craig Counsell and see what he has to say after he's got to pick up the pieces here and mop up duty after a 14-8 loss to the Cubs. Tim Allen, Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here in the Hyundai of West Allis postgame studios.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper on the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, Brewers fall in game two of this three-game set as the 2019 championship season gets off to a 7-2 start. There's the good news, right? Overall, big picture, under the umbrella of the championship season, 7-2 is a pretty damn good way to start your season.
Seven wins all within the NL Central.
And a huge game tomorrow. I can't wait for tomorrow's game. We're going to have Adam McKelvey on tomorrow afternoon as well to wrap up this series. So make sure if you're headed to Miller Park after the last pitch, you make the switch over here and we'll talk some Brewers baseball. Adam will join us at some point following the game. Craig Counsell, here's what he had to say after his team loses game two, 14-8.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. They're a little confusing for us, too. I think he's making some really good pitches. He's making, you know, hitters look, you know, he's getting swing and miss, which is, you know, generally a sign of that you've got good stuff. But the homers, you know, if you're going to give up homers, that's runs on the board. It's not making teams string together hits, and it's going to cost you. So he has not been a homer-prone pitcher in the minor leagues and in the big leagues last year. So, yeah, we're going to have to work on that, I would say. It's a little puzzling.
Craig, one thing is he talked about getting back to the five-pitch mix. And he's using, I mean, it's kind of a lot of fastball slider again. It's almost.
I don't think a five pitch mix is accurate. I mean, you know, it's fastball slider. There's some curveball in there. There's the changeup is the last pitch, and that's still a pitch that he has to, you know, that's still a, you know, I think it'll pitch that'll come, but it's not a pitch that just comes overnight. So that's part of the process for Corbin, for sure. That's always been who he was. It's fastball slider and a curveball. And then the changeup's the next pitch. That's who he is. The fifth pitch is just a, you know, it's another fast, but it's a two seam fastball. Yeah.
Is there anything in common just with the homers that he's giving up? Like, is it location? Is it just hitters?
Well, no, there's every homer that's been given that we're watching is in common. It's bad location. I mean, the pitch to Hayward was not a bad pitch. I wouldn't call that a bad pitch. That was, I think on that one, you got to say, you know, you got to tip your hat to Hayward. We put a pitch where we wanted to and he hit it out. So that you tip your hat there. But home runs are bad location. If you're hitting pitches on the corner for home runs, then all the credit goes to the hitter. I mean, you've made a pitch.
A little different side of Alex Wilson tonight, something you haven't really seen this year. You got a kind of a rough one, too.
Yeah. No, he just didn't make pitches and left some cutters in the middle. And Rizzo had a really good at bat against him.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
Man, I don't know if I'm ever going to agree with that.
Yeah, it was a good pitch. It just got launched.
I'm starting to maybe entertain the idea of understanding it, or at least digging in to try and understand it. Home runs are bad pitches.
Well, you know, I guess the point that Craig was making is that he executed the pitch that was called. He threw the pitch in the exact location they wanted, and it still went yard. Well, that calls into question, was it the right pitch to be called?
Yes. Okay, and that's another factor in here, and I do base my opinion a lot on that. You can put the ball where you want, but if the guy's looking for it, you know, if you weren't mixing it up, I don't know. It's just always been a debate here on the show. Who got lit up? Brought to you by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com. Yeah, I think we can safely say it was Corbin Burns. 5 innings, gives up 6 hits, 7 runs, and 3 additional home runs. He's given up 3 homers in each of his first 2 starts of the 2019 campaign. We're going to hear from Corbin Burns, a dude that I got to say I really like. In the handful of times that I've interviewed him, I really, really think he's mature beyond his years. I still believe that he's the highest ceiling of the 3 young rookie starters, or the younger starters, if you will, of Woodruff, Peralta, and himself, Burns. I think he's got the highest ceiling. I think at the end of the day, it might take some time, but I think he's going to come out on top. We'll hear from Corbin next here on The Fan.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes post-game update as we take you inside the clubhouse. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Post-Game Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Oh, cannot wait until tomorrow's final game of this 3-game set. Brewers and Cubs, we are in the heat of battle here in the 2019 championship season. Just love it.
Yeah, big-time games, and, you know, you had kind of a... The Brewers jumped out to a huge lead in Game 1. Cubs came back, and then the Brewers knocked them out and put them away. Kind of vice versa today.
Yeah, I mean, a big 3-run shot from Ryan Braun in the 7th inning pulled this game to within 2 runs. And I just wonder if the hater appearance crossed Council's mind right there to fire up the 8th inning. Instead, it was Alex Wilson, and he got lit up.
Yeah, with the 2-run deficit, you know, who knows? If I was Council, I would have been thinking hater for sure.
If you can't get some safe situations, you're going to have to get them some work at some point.
Well, and you're going up against a Cub bullpen that's a leaky ship.
They gave up
6 runs to the crew tonight. So, you know, you're never out of it when the Cubs bullpen is on the other side.
We're going to hear from Corbin Burns in just a second here. Roger, it looks like you're going to get the final word here, man. What's up?
Yeah, you know, don't you think the Cubs' reluctance wouldn't be a little embarrassing given the salaries?
For sure.
That both clubs have. I mean, admitting that they're on an equal with, what, an $80 million less of a payroll?
Yeah, that's all right. That's a good point. I agree to a certain extent. Yeah, that probably plays a little bit in there. $214 million. I don't know, maybe my numbers are just a million or two off, but I believe it's $214 for Chicago.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And now for the Brewers, at this point, $122.5 million. So, yeah, it's just – imagine. I mean, it does – Yeah, it's like thinking about, well, what would I do if I won the lottery? Roger, thank you. It's a good point. What would I do if I won the lottery? But you do have to think about, what would the Brewers be if you added an additional another $80 million for this year's payroll?
Yeah, it. You wouldn't have three young guys starting in the rotation, that's for sure.
No, you wouldn't. One of those young guys, Corbin Burns, got beat around a little bit again today. Five innings, allow six hits and seven earnings. Here's what he had to say after the game.
What did you think was better today?
We mixed everything in today. Instead of majority being a two pitch mix last time, we mixed in all five. You got a lot of ugly swings at some of that, the sinker, the changeup, some of the other pitches that we mixed in. So, really the mistake pitches were with the heater. So whether it's, throwing the sinker instead of the heater or just, putting in a better spot, that's something that we'll have to look at.
When you're talking about going to look at those pitches to see, what do you look for when you go look at video?
So the pitches that they hit out tonight, the first one to Hayward was a fastball just at the top of the zone, just middle. We tried to go on his hands and kind of ran back over the plate. So that's more of just a spot. The pitch that Caratini hit out was a fastball that was on the inside corner. So maybe that's something that we didn't set him up well enough, or maybe we just need to go farther in. That's just something that we'll take a look at. Obviously, those guys are swinging a pretty hot bat right now. So if you make a mistake, they're going to make pay for it.
Does it kind of just feel like a hitter series the way that these first two games have played out? I mean, both starters, bullpens on both teams are getting hit hard.
Yeah, I mean, there was, 23 runs last night, and I think 22 or 23 again tonight. So, obviously, the guys are swinging the bat pretty well. It's my job as a starter is to try to get as many as I can and to limit, limit the runs and try to give us a chance. And, I didn't do that tonight.
Starting isn't, being a young starting pitcher, it often requires patience, mm-hmm. like from the team and from the player himself. How hard is that as a guy who, you've had lots of success and you got to come up here and sort of work through some stuff?
That's tough. Especially I feel like, early on in the games, both outings, I threw the ball well. So that's something we have to look at is, are we not setting up guys good enough for the third, 10th of the order? Or are we just making mistakes, at the bad time. The way I'm kind of looking at it right now is I'm just making a mistake, at the worst opportunity possible. So, that's something we have to address.
Yeah, growing pains. There's Corbin Burns after his performance tonight, as the crew falls 14-8. And love being back here. Weather getting a little bit better each and every day, almost it seems, at least each and every week. Before long, that roof's going to be open and be scorching hot right in the middle of the 2019 championship season, right in the middle of a pennant race.
It's coming.
Oh, can't wait.
It's coming.
Reminder, tomorrow, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show at noon with you.
Yes, sir.
And after the last pitch, you make the switch. We'll meet you right here in the Hyundai of West Allis postgame studios. For the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals, we are hashtag MilHockey. Nice job from Andrew Bolt back there and Sam Schmitz. Nicely done. Ryan Horvat down at Miller Park tonight doing a bang-up job. His audio was beautiful.
On the money, right. Like always. Horvat, take him to the bank, brother.
My man. For the Polish Pipe Bomb, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night, and we'll talk some Brewers baseball tomorrow afternoon. Adam McCalvey is going to join us. And just a quick reminder, after tomorrow's game, the Brewers hit the road in a knockdown, a West Coast swing in the L.A. area.
Yeah, Angels and the Dodgers.
Trout, Pujols, company going at it with the crew.
Now you bring in Ryan Braun, Christian Yelich, star power galore.
Big time. That is star power galore. Just like tomorrow's game, Hendricks going to be on the hill for the Cubs, Zach Davies for the crew, and we'll talk some Brewers baseball. Huge game tomorrow. And behave yourselves at Miller Park if you're headed that way. And maybe this will help. Smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.